this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and changing, and dare we say, electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, for the first time this year, I get to greet you with the greeting of the new year. That is a greeting that is ours, actually. Christos Tzanaviev Haidnetzav. It is the greeting of the Orthodox faith that Christ has been born and revealed among us. And certainly, it is the greeting of the new year as well. Here we are in 2009, our first podcast for the new year. And we get to say this because yesterday, I don't know where you were, but in our church on January 6th, we were not only celebrating, but I felt the presence. I don't know how you felt. I don't know where you were. I hope you made it down to one of the very special services. You know, as we mentioned last week, this is a unique service. Not only it is the remembrance of Christ's baptism, but the blessing of the water incorporates elements that come to us from the time of Christ. The Holy Muron, the Chrism, and we've talked about this many times, about the presence of the Holy Spirit inside that water, and that water going out to build the new homes, and not just buildings. We're talking building institutions and places of love. I mean, it was so beautiful because as we gathered around the water ceremony yesterday, we had a young man who was the godfather of the cross. We put the cross inside the water. It was so incredibly touching, at least for me, because when you look at the cross, it is, yes, a symbol of death, of torture, but when you put it inside the water, it's like drowning all the negativity. And when it comes up out of the water, I mean, if you could visualize this, if you didn't get a chance to see it, kind of visualize a big, big basin filled with water, and there the clergy, the deacons, the acolytes, the choir, the people, all huddled around that. They remember the baptism of Christ by reading the passages that come to us from Scripture. And when you read it, what happens? You realize that, yes, it was an event in history. Absolutely, no denying it. But it has such a meaning today in our lives. Because just as we read in the Scriptures that Jesus came to the River Jordan and St. John the Baptist said, "There's no way on earth, no way, Jose," if there was such a person at the time, he'd say, "No way, I'm not baptizing you. I should be baptized by you. And here you come to me," and Jesus says, "Do not prevent me from entering the water. Do not prevent me, because it is right that this should take place." And Jesus is baptized. And at that moment, the Son of God enters the water. But also the other two persons of the Trinity, the Father and the Holy Spirit, reveal themselves. God the Father from above, you hear His voice saying, "This is my beloved Son." and God the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove rests upon him. And so at that one moment in history, the Holy Trinity is revealed. And this is important because we occupy space and time. Yes, we can talk a lot about spirituality, but we are also human beings that occupy space and time. Quite different from the concept of angels, which really don't have any material being. We do have a material side. And so history is important. It's not like we can just exist without it. And historically, we see that Jesus was baptized. There was a reason for that. There was a reason for him to come to the River Jordan and take place in this ceremony. It's not just a question of, well, I'm just here and I exist, but he goes through the motion of baptism and he is baptized and comes out of the water. And that it becomes then beyond history when you and I can perceive that and find the example for our life today. Because history in itself has no meaning until we can find the application in our life today. This is very important. You get a lot of times people hung up in, especially in traditional churches such as the Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox Church, people hung up on the historical value and never making the connection that it has something to do with our life today. I mean, I'm going through so many problems today. I have difficulties here and there. How is that connection, that 2,000-year event, that event that took place 2, 3, 4,000 years ago, that event that took place at the beginning of time? How do those events relate to me today, and how does it alter my sense of my own reality? This is an important junction that we're at, that we need to be at. We need to make that crossover. We need to jump from the historical to the spiritual, but not discount the historical. Do you get what I'm saying? A lot of times we talk about spirituality as if the history doesn't matter either. They both work together. And so at that event where Jesus is baptized, we find for us an opportunity to renew our lives, to take that historical and plug it into our lives today. And what's that opportunity, if not to look and focus in on the baptism of Christ as our own? Yesterday during the service, we gather around the water, and as we're praying the hymns and we read the passages from the gospel, so too we took an artifact of the church. We took the cross, and we placed it inside the water. And then it emerges from the water and it is handed to the Godfather, who is standing next to the priest. And as we did this, I invited our congregants to really focus in on that cross. Because what do you see? When you look at the cross, what do you see? You see an instrument of torture, an instrument of pain. You see suffering, difficulties. Sure, but at the same time, what does Jesus do? He places himself in the water, drowning that negativity, drowning that sin, drowning that disgust, and all of the negativity and all of the hatred and the crimes that you and I are accustomed to call part of life. Jesus says, I drown them now. I step on them. I trample over death even. And as Jesus rises from the water, we have an opportunity to look and place our focus on the cross of Christ, which comes out of the water. And it comes out, yes, wet and dripping, but it comes out as a new image. An image of not crucifixion, but an image of resurrection. There's probably nothing more beautiful than this small little difference that the true believer, that somebody who is in tuned with what is happening in the circumstances will pick it up immediately. That cross, though outwardly, though superficially, will resemble the same cross that went into the water, the true believer looks at that cross and sees a new shining cross, sees an opportunity to seize every moment, every suffering, and every crucifixion as an opportunity for a resurrection. And so too, we were sitting there yesterday and we looked at that cross, and as it rose, we handed it to the Godfather, and people came and revered the cross and received their first drink for the new year and the new season, which of course is the water that is given to us by Christ himself. And he says, he who drinks of this water will never thirst. And so too it was yesterday that we shared with one another, we prayed with one another, and we celebrated the nativity and the baptism of Christ. Our first song today celebrates this with some very young voices. They are the junior choir from the St. Sahag Mesrop Church, and they're going to be singing one of the Christmas hymns. Isn't that beautiful? That is a hymn called Today is the Nativity of Christ. I like that in particular because it uses some youthful sounds. Not only the kids singing, but of course hearing those that piano, you know, that little baby piano. I don't even know if they make those anymore. It's the ones with the painted on black keys. I think only Schroeder was the only one who could play those flats and sharps on that piano. Somehow he would get those black keys to work. But for all of us who grew up in a long time ago, when before video games, we used to tinkle on those little keys, and that was the ivory of the time, and it was just a lot of fun. And that song brings back those kind of precious memories for me. But of course, hearing those kids saying Christos Zanaviev Haidnetsov is the blessing of the day. Of course, God has been revealed, Christ has been born among us. Is there anything greater than that to proclaim today? The idea that God doesn't forget about us, that despite ourselves, despite all of our difficulties, that God is with us. He would not forget us. And that's going to be the message of today, because I'm going to take you in a little different direction. We do call Christmas Theophany in the Armenian Orthodox faith, and it's very important that we understand that theophany as the revelation of not Christ, in other words, a historical figure again, but the revelation of God, that Christ was God incarnate, and of course God is love, and therefore Christ is the incarnation of love. Incarnation means taking on flesh, carnation, the flesh, meat, carnitas. Have you ever eaten carnitas? It is meat taking on flesh. Love took on flesh, and of course Jesus Christ is the incarnation of love, of God. God taking on human form so that by looking at him we can understand the divine. So that looking at him, and more importantly, listening and doing what he taught us, we can understand and appreciate and walk with the divine. And that is the Christian experience. So yesterday when we celebrated Theophany, it began with a very special service called the Song of the Three. Now, quick, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Are you trying to remember those three names? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
It was three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach,
I can't believe Meshach, where do you find this
took
stuff?
Took a trip to the land of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Took a lot of gold and made nine. Where did you dig up that song?
Meshach, Abednego.
You know, Anunit Dernes, Ken, I can't believe that you would find something like that. It is set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was, I believe, Louis Armstrong. Yep, Louis Armstrong. Wow. Anyway, in Armenian, Setrag, Misak, Yev Apetnakov. The eve of Theophany is called Jirakaluits. It has to do with light. Now, I invite you, we talk many times here on this podcast about the holistic dimension of Armenian Orthodoxy. It's not something that you could just hear, it's not something that you just see, but all of your senses have to interact with the faith, because God is much more than a few written words on a page. He's much more than what we hear in our ears. He is all-consuming, He is all around. And sure, you have to understand with your with your mind, with your ears, with your eyes, with your hands, but also, most importantly, with your heart, to be able to open our hearts. And on the night of Theophany, this Jirakaluits reminds us of what life would be like without the light. In fact, the Theophany, or shall we say the Christmas message, very uniquely for the Armenian Orthodox, isn't about signs in the skies, bright lights flashing, about shepherds in the field, nor about mangers and no room at the inn. Those are all very beautiful stories and part of the entire myth of the Christmas feast. For the Orthodox Christian, the Christmas message comes from the Gospel of John. And in it, superficially at least, you don't read about the closed door at the inn, you don't read about the giant stars in the sky, nor about the shepherds and the wise men. But on closer inspection, you do understand what all those symbols do mean, because you find bigger doors that are closed. The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." This is the actual Christmas message, that from the beginning of time, there was the Word, and the Word took on human flesh. And God did not forget us because He wanted us to live in light. Theophany, God being revealed. And on that occasion, on that Jirakaluits, in other words, the night before the event, there is a tradition to sing from or chant what is called the Song of the Three. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three young men, have a story that has come to us from the book of Daniel. His song, however, was cut out from that book and is now part of what Protestants refer to as the Apocrypha, but very much part of the canon of our church. And every Christmas Eve and Easter Eve, this story comes to us. This story is repeated in all of the churches. Now, why? Think about the message of God being with us. Think about God being revealed as I share with you this story about the three young men. Now, many people who've gone to Sunday school have probably heard this story, but I hope that I could at least give you a pretty nice new twist on it. In other words, a twist that you might not have seen the first time. The king's name is Nebuchadnezzar, Nabucodonosor in Armenian. What a cool name, but it is a pretty, pretty long one and kind of like looks intimidating when you're reading it. This comes to us from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And so this king builds this incredible statue, and it is a monument and a testament to him. It is his legacy, and he sends out, like all good kings with egos that haven't popped yet, he sends out an order that everyone in the land needs to come and bow down before this statue. They need to bring gifts. They need to honor this beautiful statue made out of gold, 20 million times as big as him, and worthy of everyone's expressions of love and admiration. And the word goes out, and when the band plays, the people start coming to it, and they start revering this statue and saying, "This is the most beautiful thing we have seen." And all except for these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These three young men refused. They refused to listen to what the king had said. They said, "We will honor you as a king, but there is only one God that we worship, and no matter what you do, there is no way in this world that we will bow down to this statue." And these three young men, because they refused, were punished. And this is a very important part of this story. It's okay to refuse, but you've got to be willing to take the consequences. We learn this in protest too. When you're protesting against something, it's okay to protest whatever you want as long as you're willing to take the consequences. You have a right to protest, obviously, in life, whatever country you live in. And there are certain consequences. In certain countries, those consequences could be bigger than in other countries, but still, there are consequences to all of your actions. And so too, with these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to worship the king's statue. They refused to follow the law. Now, this is what we call civil disobedience. In other words, there is a rule. There is a law. There is something that is being forced upon you, and you realize you can't. In good conscience, everything that you believe and stand for is against what they're telling you to do. And you realize that that law, that rule, whatever is being put in front of you is, how shall we say, just plain stupid. In other words, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't flow in the natural process of life. Now, this is very important to understand, that you don't make this decision haphazardly. It's not like you say, "Well, you know, I don't want to do that, so I think I'll just be civilly disobedient." That's why the consequence part is very important to it. As long as you realize that there are consequences and you're willing to suffer the extremes of those consequences. For the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three men understood that the consequence was death, and they were willing to go that route. They were willing to put up with the consequences because this law, this rule, violated everything that they believed in. So understand that. Well, the next time you just think like, "Well, you know, I'm not going to do what he says," and say, "I'm willing to take the consequences." It may not be life or death, but certainly it could be life or death for a relationship. Let's say a marriage. Let's say a friendship. It could be life or death for these relationships if you don't calculate it well. In other words, you need to be able to think about what you're saying. So I'm saying this because I do want to put up this little caution sign over here, because a lot of the ministry that we do at In His Shoes, we talk about protest. In fact, all of America is built on this protest. Many of you who are listening in other countries may think that this is a little bit of a foreign concept, but in America, if you think about the entire American Revolution, is built on the protest against England. And in fact, that right to protest is built into the Constitution, that you have a right to protest, to basically say that the rule is not fitting for us to follow. And this is, of course, over and over we see actions like this throughout American history. Most recently, it was during the Civil Rights Movement when Martin Luther King Jr. really allowed people to understand that in a new dimension, in a fresh dimension. He brought that to the forefront, this right to protest. And if you follow the civil rights movement, you realize that at each step of the way, Martin Luther King Jr. knew very well what the consequences were. He built it into his protest statements that, yes, we will go to jail, we will suffer, we will go through these difficulties. So it's not just all a free ride of just saying, hey, I don't feel like doing it. But it is also an important one for you to realize that you, as an individual, as a son or daughter of God, have that right to think of yourself in a holy manner. To say that despite what everybody else is doing, I know that this doesn't sound right to me. And this could be your morals, this could be the way you deal with friendships, it could be the peer pressure that you're feeling at work, at school. There are different ways that we deal with different realities. The strong person is like Setrag, Misag, and Apetnakov. He is willing to stand up and say, despite what you say, despite what you think, I am going to do otherwise. When you think about examples of during the Nazi, Nazi times, and how the torture of the Jews took place, do you realize, Martin Luther King makes this point in one of his speeches, he said, everything that the Nazis did was according to the rules. So in other words, if you aided and abetted a Jew during the Nazi regime in Germany, you were violating the law. You were going against, you were protesting a law that was in place, and you put yourself into danger. So knowing those consequences, you went ahead and you did it. That was your protest. Same way, Setrag, Misak, and Apetnakov, they said, no way, Jose, to King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, there's no way we will bow down. And the king has these people, according to his rule, he said that whoever doesn't follow what I say will be thrown into a fiery furnace. And he has these three boys thrown into a furnace. And the furnace heat starts blasting at them. And, you know, I guess in those times, they just wanted to see people fry or cook or bake, whatever the metaphor may be. They wanted to see them finished, ended. Dead, as in the doornail variety. That's it. And so these three men were put into the fiery furnace. And they started singing. Rather than being scared, rather than shivering, rather than putting their tail between their legs, they looked up and they sang the praises of God. And this song, as I said a few minutes ago, is recorded in the Bible. It is the Song of the Three that conveniently, for some reason, the Protestants have removed, but is part of the original canon of the church. And in Armenian Orthodoxy, we remember this for a specific reason. I'll get to it in a minute. But the three men sing the praises of God. In fact, from the Bible we read, they walked in the heart of the fire, praising God and blessing the Lord. Azariah stood among the flames and began to pray aloud. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, the God of our fathers. Thy name is worthy of praise and glorious forever. Thou art just in all thy deeds and true in all thy works. Straight are your paths and all thy judgments are just. Now think about this for a moment. Here are guys who are sentenced, who stood up for God. And instead of God helping them, I mean, it would be kind of cool if the king said, okay, you guys are going into the fiery furnace. It would be really neat if God just kind of said, okay, no, you're not, and blew out the fire, stood in front of the fire, made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. He did it once before, right? What would happen if God prevented this fire from burning? You'd say that, yeah, there's the God of justice. These three men were defending God, and God came to their aid. Instead, the furnace door opens. Here are three guys who say, who have every right to turn to God and say, hey, wait a minute, hold it right there. We are faithful servants of yours. We pray. In fact, we stood up to this bad king. How about cutting some slack? How about putting out that fire? Instead, the door to the furnace was opened, and these three men were ushered in to the fiery furnace. And the flames start consuming them. In other words, they overtake them. It's a lot of flames. And here's three guys that have every right to protest against God. Like, why aren't you helping us right now? Remember us? Instead, they start singing his praise. And the king looks down in the furnace and notices that they're not even touched. He notices that not even a hair on their head has been singed. And he sends a servant down to the furnace and he says, kick up the heat. Let's go up 7 times. You know, it's like 300 degrees. Come on, let's kick it up to 2100. Let's see if flesh will survive. Wow, you think about the hottest day you've lived in, 120 degrees maybe. I mean, think about it. 7 times. Now the flames are all around. There's no way anyone is going to survive. And again, the boy said, we will not bow down and worship your statue. We only recognize one God, the God of our fathers, the God of this universe, the one that can create your statues. And they refused to bow down. And yet the flames, as high as they were, as hot as they were, did not touch any one of them. To the point that King Nebuchadnezzar looked down into the furnace. And the scriptures tell us that he saw a fourth person. He said, didn't we send in three? And now I see a fourth person there. And that person resembles a son of God. The revelation of God. God taking on form. On this Feast of Theophany, isn't it appropriate that in Orthodoxy we begin by retelling the story, the Song of the Three? Because that furnace is our life. You and I can relate to that in many dimensions. We get thrown in there because we want to do what is right many times. We believe in what we do and we get kicked. We get thrown around. We get crucified. And for many people, they get thrown into this oven of life. But you know what? Despite our protests, despite when we say, God, where are you? Have we been hurt? Has even the hair on our heads been singed? Impossible, because when God is with us, who could be against us? And there we stand in our furnaces. That furnaces could be our health issues, our difficulties, our financial crises, our relationships, our divorces that we've gone through. And many times we think that we're alone in all of these things. We look around and we say, where is God? You know, I've been a good person. I've been faithful. And it's so easy to pick and throw it back on God. How come you're not with me? How come you're opening the door of the furnace? How come you're letting me walk in to my difficulties? My health issues, the heart that's not fixing, the cancer that's spreading, my relationships. I thought I was doing the right thing, but today I don't even talk to my husband or our children, our parents who are growing older and need our care. Or how about our financial problems? Why are you letting me walk through this alone? I've lost everything, and now I'm being threatened of losing even the few things that I do have. How come you're not with me? Focus rather on that negativity. Focus on praising God, on saying that, God, despite all that, I'm never going to let you alone because you've never left me alone. You've walked with me. You've walked through that furnace with me so many times before. All the difficulties I've had, you've never let me walk through there alone. You've always stood by me, and you've been that person. You've been that Son of God that has appeared miraculously so that not even one hair on my head has been singed. I know you're going to be with me again on this time. And you watch what happens. All of a sudden, you understand that you aren't alone. And as we've said many times, as we are reminded by the prophets who tell us that whoever stands with God, you're in a majority. Don't be scared. If God is with you, who? What power? What can be against you if God is with you? And you know in your past, there is no reason why you're even here except by the grace of God. So don't give up, because God has not given up on you. Because God has not given up on you. And the proof of that, theophany. The proof of that is that God cared so much for us that despite ourselves, He gave us the laws and we broke them. He gave us the prophets and we murdered them. And He said, enough, I'm sending you the very best, my Son, Jesus Christ, who is not a Bible, who is not just a written word, who is not just an evangelist talking out there, who is not just some kind of historical figure, but is love incarnate, love taking on human flesh. And each of us who peers at that incarnation understands today that God did not leave us alone 2,000 years ago and in our difficulties, financial, health, relationships, whatever our difficulties, how big our furnaces are, how hot the fire is, He will never, ever let us alone.
Old Nebuchadnezzar called, "Hey there!"
Hey there.
And he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a big time in the house of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Oh, Abednego.
You know, a few moments earlier, I did mention about Dr. Martin Luther King, and he did use this specific passage, Daniel chapter 3, the Song of the Three, in many of his sermons about civil disobedience. And next week, we're going to do a special podcast dedicated to the slain civil rights leader, Dr. King, and especially in light of the Obama inauguration, and especially, here's the big catch, especially in light of that we are celebrating the feast day of St. John the Baptist. And you say, wait, one's a saint and one's just a human being. Well, actually, saints are human beings, and that's the crossover. So if it'll get you upset or if it'll get you to tune in next week. I'm throwing out a teaser. This is a good one. It's going to be a very good podcast next week, as are all of our podcasts. It's going to be a good one about how we bring in the stories of our faith in our and find the applications in our everyday lives. Now, next week, we'll be talking about Dr. King. We do have an incredible sixth annual Dr. Martin Luther King weekend planned for you. It takes place right on that weekend, on the 17th and 18th and 19th. We've got a speaker coming in from Armenia who happens to be doing some work in Africa, of all places, in Nairobi. Her name is Hasmik Babayan. She's going to be speaking. We have a special barbecue set up where we're going to be learning some of the songs of Gor Mkhitaryan, and it is just going to be an incredible time because we will be honoring not just a memory, but actually listening to many of the speeches that were given by Dr. King, and in so doing being inspired like the many generations that have been inspired before us, the many thousands of people that have actually given their lives for something beyond themselves and struggled for freedom, for causes of justice. Definitely, Dr. King has been a big part of my life and has directed me, has been an inspiration. But his inspiration, that's what's so beautiful. His inspiration is God. His inspiration is Jesus Christ, the first nonviolent revolutionary, the first person to be able to stand up and say that, no, this is wrong, but the way we change it is not by picking up a gun or a sword, but by combating that evil with love. And that's at the basis of Armenian Orthodoxy. That's why we have these podcasts, because we recognize that that power of love has to be something that has kept a group of people alive. I mean, when you look at the history of the Armenian people, I mean, here's a group of people that absolutely had no strategic alliances, had no military power or wealth, and yet, despite every odd possible, these people have been able to survive. And the one variable that has not changed in the last 2,000 years is that variable of faith. In other words, that God does work. God does surface in the times of the furnace. That when you do look in that furnace, it's precisely at those moments of difficulty that you see the Son of God being revealed, being among us. Christos imech mer haydnetzav. Christ has been revealed among us. So in the next few weeks, we do have some interesting directions by which this podcast will be going. And as I promised last week, we do have some new elements to the podcast, which I believe you are going to welcome. So stay tuned with us next week, and we will get together and celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. And as I promised before, we will connect it to an incredible other protester. His name is John the Baptist. Okay, I'm not going to give you any more than that, except give you a whole week to think about how those are going to connect. You know, the Armenian Church is something so beautiful to me personally, and it is something, it is really like Jesus does talk about the pearl, about the merchant who finds that pearl of such great wealth that he sells everything just to purchase that pearl. That to me, that pearl is the kingdom of heaven. That kingdom of heaven on earth is the church. But it is a potential there, because so many times it gets cluttered up with such nonsense and human aspirations and egos that people forget to see the pearl. They start seeing the shell, the clam around the pearl, and miss sight of that pearl. So these podcasts, this ministry is specifically looking and targeting that element which we call Armenian Orthodoxy. In other words, what is the faith without all the other trappings? And I hope that through these podcasts, we're getting out to you and getting that word out to you. If you'd like to support it, hey, drop us a line. We'd appreciate hearing from you, and especially we'd appreciate your support. We're always looking for new equipment and funds to really beef up this podcast that is reaching out on all continents. Well, I shouldn't say all continents, because I haven't heard from anybody in Antarctica, but from the 6 other continents, we do have listeners, and I'm always thankful to God that we are growing day by day. And it is with your prayers and with your assistance. So we're at the end of another podcast, and for Susie, our producer, and for Ken, who somehow keeps finding these great tunes for us, this is Father Voskin wishing you all the best in this new year. Christos Zinoviev Haydnetsov. Christ has been born and revealed among us, and indeed blessed is that revelation of Christ. We look forward to seeing you again next week, when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.